All right, we're going to come back into open session. We're going to move on to item 11C. We're going to do a budget hearing. For budget purposes only, the Board of Supervisors will be conducting business as the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District Board, Siskiyou Power Authority, County Service Area 3 Board, County Service Area 4 Board, County Service Area 5 Board, Airport Land Use Commission, and In-Homes Services Public Authority. That was me opening up the hearing. Presentation of a staff report.
Good morning, supervisors. Sherry Lawson, Deputy County Administrator, here before you today to present the 2023-2024 adopted budget. Recommended motion today is to adopt the resolution which adopts the Siskiyou County budget, approve all additions and deletions to the recommended budget for 2023-24, of which includes financing uses by unit, interfund transfers by unit, transfer out by fund, appropriations for contingencies by fund, provisions for restricted and committed accounts by fund and purpose, and financing sources, and adopt a resolution amending the Siskiyou County salary schedules, personnel allocation list, new job classifications, and adopt the county statement of allocated positions and salary schedules, and authorize the auditor to establish budget for vacant positions upon approval by county administration. The adopted budget presented today totals $421,898,867. This is increased from recommended by approximately $23.7 million, which equates to about a 6% increase. I know that sounds like a big jump from recommended to adopted, but a little less than half of that is encumbrances that have rolled over from the prior fiscal year, which the county is obligated to fulfill, $1.1 million in general fund, $9 million in non-general fund. We had an increase of $1.2 million in our general fund appropriations, mainly attributed to the salary adjustments as a result of the countywide equity adjustments that are included in this budget. We had an increase of about $8 million in non-general fund appropriations, and again, a little more than a third of that is attributable to the salary adjustments, and we had a combined increase of $4.27 million in revenue, $4.2 million in non-general fund, and about $73,000 in general fund. Our budget balancing approach closely aligned with our recommended model, albeit with a unique challenge due to the countywide equity adjustments. The adjustments included in the adopted budget resulted in wage increases totaling $5.1 million, with approximately $2.1 million to the general fund and $3 million to the non-general fund. As we entered this fiscal year, we faced a smaller fund balance than expected. And upon the completion of the general fund analysis, we determined to be a deficit of $3.2 million. That was not entirely surprising. It did exceed our initial projections. To address the deficit, much like our approach group recommended, we redirected funding from vacancies to help balancing the budget. Importantly, we did not freeze any positions. Instead, we opted to closely monitor salary and benefits within general fund departments to ensure they had adequate funding for their staffing requirements throughout the fiscal year. If a department faces a shortfall in salaries and benefits during the year, we have committed to initiating a transfer to cover that gap. We do have a separate fund outside the balance that's committed just for this purpose. That action is part of the recommended motion today. Additional steps we took to mitigate the impact to general fund is we requested general fund departments to reduce their overall salary increases by 10%. Meaning if a department experienced a $100,000 increase in salaries, we asked them to reduce by 10%, which would equate to about $10,000. Specific areas where these reductions occurred were determined by each department, and I'm pleased to say that each general fund department was able to make the necessary reductions requested of them. Furthermore, in late July, we contacted departments to inquire about any changes to their adopted budget. We instructed that any proposed changes resulting in increased budget appropriations must be accompanied by an explanation. Our objective was to maintain budget neutrality, so any increases had to be cost neutral. Departments without corresponding offsetting actions were not incorporated into the adopted budget. While our intention is to accommodate every department's request, given the substantial changes in salaries and benefits this year, not all requests could be included. Finally, after the mentioned budget modifications, to balance the general fund, we opted to utilize LATCF funding to ensure a balanced budget for this fiscal year. We acknowledge that LATCF funding is a one-time source, but we made this decision to support the initial implementation of the equity adjustments. It's important to recognize, and we have emphasized to departments, that in the coming years, they will need to manage their budgets conservatively to ensure sustainability of the increases that we're witnessing this year. I want to highlight the collective effort and dedication that went into addressing the challenges we faced with our budget for fiscal year 23-24. It's true that we encountered some hurdles, but our approach was guided by a commitment to fiscal responsibility and fairness. As we move forward, we recognize the importance of managing our budget conservatively to sustain the increases we're witnessing, and we remain committed to ensuring the long-term sustainability of our financial plans. In closing, I would like to extend my heartfelt gratitude to our county administrator for her support, to the auditor and her staff for their support, department heads and their fiscal staff who worked hard through this process. Their dedication and cooperation has been instrumental in helping achieve a balanced budget that reflects our commitment to both fiscal responsibility and equity. And with that, I will turn it back to you for questions.
Thank you. We'll get to that in a moment. Any correspondence, Wendy?
Not at the clerk level.
Interesting. Have I seen any proponents or opponents? Mr. Department head wants to be a proponent. I don't see anyone jumping up on that. Public comment?
Showing none online.
We're going to find some because this is like should be really important for the public to know what's going on around here. So I'll say no rebuttal. Do we get to close this?
We're just adopting resolutions, so correct.
We're going to close it. Discussion by the board. Anyone? Supervisor Howe?
I had a couple questions. Regarding the current vacancies, and I know how you set the budgets, I appreciate that because it actually gives me a better look at how budgets are functioning within the departments. My question is, what in the process, how long does it take? You get a request to fill the position. How long does that take to work through that request and get it advertised?
From initial request to actually flying on the county website,
yeah.
For example? I think that process is fairly quick. Personnel gets the request. They go through certain steps to make sure it's a truly vacant position because departments, you know, will have 15 positions with different numbers. So there's a lot of stuff to verify. And then it gets posted, I would say, within a week, if less.
Angela Davis, County Administrator. Sherry's correct. However, you know, there's always the unforeseen circumstances that may cause a delay or additional conversations with regards to the recruitment request. However, we are dedicated to having that turnaround to be expedited, especially with this new process where we are going to be transferring funds for those positions that are frozen, so to speak, unfunded. There will not be any increase in timing of recruitment process. So I just want to make that clear that it may sound like we're adding additional steps. True. But in the back end, and so that will not be experienced by the department. And if they are, they know that they can call on.
Okay, I just make sure the bureaucracy isn't getting in our way.
We have streamlined the process tremendously, and we continue to do so.
And then, what's the current? I don't even know what to call this anymore. There's the actual salary rate that the individual has, but then there's the government burden because of cost share or because of health costs and insurance and all those kinds of things. What's the percentage of employee cost, total cost?
We call that the loaded rate.
We call that the fully loaded position.
Whatever that is.
We would have to get that percentage for you. It's almost double of a salary, but I can get percentages for you and send.
I guess what I'm looking for is usually annually we get kind of a projection and we get a 50% increase in cost for health care or something
correct.
Like that. That's what I was looking for.
Okay.
I'm gonna look at this kind of the way one of my pet peeves of federal government is continuing resolutions. Rather than regular appropriation. I guess my concern would be that when you start with a budget from the year before and then you use that to develop the next year's budget and then you're looking at keeping it flat, I'm wondering how we're positioning ourselves for the future in that process rather than kind of just rolling over what Congress does with a continuing resolution of the same old business. how are we positioning ourselves in that budget process to embrace business in the future, e-business and those kinds of things within the departments to make sure that we're up to snuff and doing business efficiently.
Angela Davis, County Administrator, and Congress does that oh so well, don't they? So, we take a look at each individual department, county as a whole, and we are projecting and forecasting out 5-10 years. What is this going to look like? And for example, salary equity adjustments. It's a one-time hit to get that increase. However, sustainability is of the utmost importance. So we have to be able to work with the departments and have that discussion to make sure that they understand the importance of maintaining their budget. Sherry is in close communications with departments with regards to revenue increases, decreases, requests that come in where it may increase their bottom line for their budget. It may go over what they have projected. And so we're working very closely, and that's why we have the mid-year budget to take a look to see where each department is holding fast at mid-year. And then, again, we have the recommended and the adopted budget process. So through that, it's not just looking back to last year. We're always looking forward to find out where are we going to be in 5 years if this trend continues. We know that healthcare costs are going to increase probably in double digits, even though CalPERS continually tells us that, you know, they're trying to streamline and flatten that. But we have to project that. We project cost of living increases, even though they may not have been implemented yet. So we are looking, forecasting to the future. So we're always looking at that. That is always a discussion because that just would not be a budget methodology that I could support if we're only looking at today, here and now. You have to forecast. And that is why we ask departments, as painful as it is, I would love to be able to give them whatever they wanted, but as painful it is to ask departments to keep the cost neutrality of if you want to purchase something, is there somewhere else in your budget that you can offset in order to support that new cost? And so that's where we are right now.
Okay, and I'm assuming the personnel officer is looking at position creep and job description changes over time, and rather than perpetuating a position we don't need anymore?
Correct.
Okay, across all departments?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Chris?
$421 million. That's a large figure there. Just for the record, he didn't say it, but the general fund. Because $421 million isn't, you know, the general fund. So
sure.
You would
just say that.
Yeah, but it's not the general fund. So revenue for general fund this fiscal year is a little north of $43 million.
Right.
And projected appropriations is about $47.7
million. Right. And of course, I bring that up too because there's a 421, a lot of services. The state of Oregon, for example, they fund their services all the way down. State of California is different than that. It funds everything through the counties to provide those services. So it's state mandates, state rules, state regulations, and then we provide those services in the best manner possible to constituents.
Correct.
Down. And then, of course, the general fund is the Sheriff's Department, VA, some of those very essential services with which we look at.
Yes.
I know law enforcement and those things get the, you know, the majority, I'll use that phrase, that funding. For the salary increases, there's something that we had to do to retain employees, to attract employees. I think it was a necessary thing for the equity, the services being provided. We're very conscious of taxpayer money, but we have to have good people provide those services to the taxpayers. So absolutely, we have to do that. I'm going to ask an open-ended question. I apologize if it says the other time. But it's something that I'm pretty proud of over the tenure. Employee number-wise, we don't go hire a bunch, fire a bunch, hire a bunch, fire a bunch, hire a bunch, fire a bunch. we retain a pretty steady level of that employee number over the last several years for job security. We're being conscious on that. If you had any numbers you want to throw at that, I didn't prepare you for that by any means, but I know that we stick pretty close to the same number. We don't hire a bunch and fire a bunch as the economy fluctuates, but we try to retain those with which are essential towards governmental services. And then if there is budget cuts, we'll just retain what is essential for us, those government services.
Sure.
If you have any comments on that, feel free to. I know Wendy gets a kick out of you doing hand gestures because you keep doing that in the minutes.
Correct. Angela Davis, County Administrator. Currently, with the budget packet, there's approximately 736 positions. We do have 341, I believe, classifications. So that's, you know, you can see the classifications with those folks that are filling those seats. Those are the allocations of positions. And so you're correct. We do kind of maintain a steady trend of you'll have an exodus, but then we do have hiring. And so it just depends upon quite a few factors. And so, but we have been able to maintain. There are some departments that are hurting, of course, just because of their nature of business, to be able to hire. And so we are working to come up with some creative solutions for departments to be able to do so.
I just like that we're not hiring and firing. We're maintaining that steady level of number. Mm-hmm. It's really an employee market in many respects, too, mm-hmm. right now. Trying to attract those employees to come and work for county government. This knows what you talk about here shows the importance of department heads and their support staff. We rely heavily on the department heads and the support staff. They can't be micromanaged by us. They know their departments, they know their clients' needs as best as possible to provide those services. And we listen to them as a board.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. It's too much for one person to keep track of, or one department to keep track of. So we do rely heavily on fiscal staff checking in with our budget, giving us accurate numbers, because we base a lot of our decisions based on what departments provide us.
Yeah, and I respect that too. The department heads and the support staffs and limited asks, but limited resources to address it. And they prioritize overall very well. Mm. I'll stop there.
Thank you.
Supervisor Rogan, anything?
Sure. I've always had a couple of pet peeves. One of them is copy machines, and the other one is vehicles. And I know that you try your hardest to manage a huge fleet of both vehicles and copy machines. And those contracts always look different. You know, you try so hard. It's like the whole lease agreement, it just didn't work right. It just as hard as you tried, it didn't. And I appreciate the fact that you tried, and I appreciate the fact that it didn't work and you went a different route. Being flexible is huge, and being able to find the best route, not only the path of least resistance, but the best bang for your buck is super important, and being able to change in midstream and mid-year is really important for the good of the order. So I appreciate the fact that you can, you know, look to the future and realize that things aren't working, and you don't just stick with what you have, you work to make it better. Vehicle fleet maintenance and costs and purchases are like a huge part of our budget. So I just really hope that you continue to look at what works best for each department and not just make it a one-size-fits-all kind of a deal, and look at different avenues and paths to make that work best for everybody. Supervisor Howe already talked about health benefits, and that's another thing that, you know, costs us all a huge amount of money. And will continue to be more expensive as things move forward. It's going to cost us more money. It's going to cost the county more money. So that's always every year open enrollment comes around and we all go, what's that going to look like? So that's always on everybody's mind. And we always think that as negotiations come out every year, that it's always, we're always hopeful it's going to be better, and it never seems to be better. It's always difficult. So however we can make a deal look better and be better for everybody, we always need to try, you know, because that's always difficult. I'll leave the copy machine alone. Every time I think about copy machines, I just cringe. They are expensive, and they are, you know, contract. I still think that there should be one contract for everybody, but it never seems to. It always seems to be that there's one contract would be best, but apparently that's just not the way it works. It's just not good for us. So I will leave that one alone. I think that's probably enough for now.
I'm going to just take the rest of the day for talking about budget. I mean, you know, I would say this, Ms. Lawson, thank you so much. You know, I've been engaged from the very beginning asking questions, and I think it's coming upon all of us. And we talk about this is a once-a-year type thing, but this budget's ongoing. It's you know, what we talk about healthcare costs, I mean, all that stuff is comes to us. We make a decision. At the end of the day, do we have the dollars? Can we pay for it? So as Chris, you make a good point about, yeah, the budget's $400 million. People think, oh, you got $400 million to spend. We're going to spend it all on Klamath Dams. Well, you know, no, we got $43 million, and that's general fund. And I won't even call that discretionary. That's paying for your sheriffs, which, yeah, you know, law enforcement takes the lion's share of things. How do we grow economic development? How do we grow our base? Which, as we all know, property tax values are the biggest funder of the general fund.
It's constituent services for the most part.
Well, they're all constituent services. Mental health is such a big piece of it, but thank God that's federal funding, or, you know, other funding. Otherwise, where would we be then? Right? So, again, I want to thank you for all the effort that you put into it, particularly the department heads that have stepped up and you know, engaged. Quite honestly, this is probably as smooth a budget operation that I've had the personal being involved with. I will tell you, from when I first started, there would be a whole raft of department heads in there, and we would be here morning all the way through, even into the early afternoon, line, you know, almost like line item by line item. I'm glad that we've streamlined it. I would encourage you to continue to reach out maybe quarterly, just, you know, and CAO, you know this, if there's something that we see coming down the pipe that's going to affect it. And it's not so much for our edification, because we will get that information, it's for the public edification. I don't think they fully understand at times what we're up against when we're dealing with the budget, and when they want us to do X, Y, or Z. Yeah, sounds good in theory, but where are we going to take the money from? Mm-hmm. Because we're going to take it from somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, what we're providing is still minimal at best when it comes to services. Mm-hmm. So, with that, board's wishes to pass a budget. I will make the recommended motion. I will second the recommended motion.
Excuse me. Supervisor Howell?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
I'll be aye.
Supervisor Okren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes. Thank you. Wendy, you want to take another break?
No.
Okay.
We're good.
Item 12, departmental requests, personnel, county administrator.
Good morning, Chairman Valenzuela, members of the board, Angela Davis, county administrator. Before you today is an item for your approval and adoption of the side letters and resolutions pertaining to the equity adjustments as a result of a salary survey. As you are intimately aware, we conducted a salary survey, and the findings demonstrated that the majority of our positions classifications were below market, some significantly below, and so a formula was implemented to increase salaries by 10% at the maximum, to try to close that gap of being below market. So, with that being said, attached to this item is the side letters and again the resolutions to bring those classifications to market as close as we possibly can. I appreciate all of the department heads and the union, the bargaining units that worked with us on being able to achieve this item before you on today. So if you have any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer them.
Any public comment?
Showing none online.
You should be. We're giving the pay raise. Equity adjustment just doesn't sound like it. It should
okay,
be pay
so
raise.
We're increasing pay.
Anything from the board?
I'd just like to thank you for the work you did on the pay between the counties and with our positions. I think that was well worth the time and effort into that. And I say that because this is the first time in 9 years the budget's come up, and I haven't been lobbied by anybody about pay. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Who else?
I think I said during the
any union presidents in here? I find it very odd that they wouldn't be here for this. Board's wishes. You got two of them, Wendy.
Ogren and Help.
There you go.
Okay. Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes. Item B, Personnel, County Administration.
Angela Davis, County Administrator. Before you, piggybacks on our last item, the salary survey equity adjustments, pertains to the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors. And because you are delegated by the county code ordinance, this item had to be separated out from all of the other units. And so before you today is the first reading of an ordinance which modifies the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors to be effective the first pay period after the effective date of this section. Each county supervisor shall be paid an annual salary of $44,478.60. So with that, if you have any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer them.
Any questions? Anything from the public there on that? We're going to give ourselves a pay raise. They should be swapping.
Showing them online.
Anything from the board? Any discussion? I would say this is going to happen after everyone else's takes effect.
That is correct, because you are guided by the ordinance, so we have to go through the ordinance process.
Which is fine. I just want mm-hmm. that to be totally clear. We
yes,
ours completely
correct.
After everyone else is up and done and settled.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, board's wishes.
I have a quick question.
Yes.
I don't see it on the recommended motion, but the second reading is going to be a public hearing, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And right now, for the timing for publication, the second can be on October 17th.
Perfect.
Okay.
I'll also move.
Got a motion?
Second.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela.
Okay. We're moving on to item 13, closed session. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.